Hello and welcome to the Zwift SBS podcast. Zwift is the app that connects you to cyclists all over the world and makes indoor training fun. There are structured workouts, training plans that are really easy to follow, online group rides, and why not try a few races? You can also organise a meetup with a bunch of friends. You might just have to make your own coffee at the end. With Zwift, you can even listen to this podcast while you ride around the Champs-Élysées. All you need is a bike, trainer, and the Zwift app. Get a free 7-day trial, no strings attached, at Zwift.com. Ride on.
Here comes the Group Armour train. It's Scottson leading the charge. Then it's Sinkeldum, followed by Guarneri as they look after the Chicolamina. It is DeMar perfectly placed.
Yeah, it is. And look at Scottson. What a job the Australian is doing. Caleb Ewan, he's boxed for DeMar's wheel. He's got it at the moment. Cavendish is off to the right, just behind. But so far for Caleb, this is good. But he's got a fight. Cavendish has come up alongside him, Matt.
And there's another left-hand turn to come. The sprint starts to open up early for that left-hand corner, courtesy of Groupama FDJ for DeMar. Cavendish, he's trained now, comes past. Gaviria, he's got Richesi doing the lead-out. And Caleb Ewan slots himself into Cavendish's wheel. Richesi checks across the shoulder. DeMar is the first of the sprinters to go. Gaviria is breathing down his neck. Fernando, the fabulous, he gets the win. Or does he? The line's not there yet. It's Danese. Alberto Danese with the upsets. Delicious. Oh,
delicious indeed. Bonjour. Welcome to the Zwift SBS Cycling Podcast. Before we start, let me remind you that you can download, stream, of course, subscribe to this podcast on our website, sbs.com.au/sport, or log a ride with our friends at Zwift. Joining me is Dave McKenzie. How are you, Dave?
I am very good. It was a delicious victory.
It was.
It was a And you heard Matty Keenan's voice there at the end. I mean, you could pick three riders in that last 50 metres and you still didn't know.
It's almost you could pick three finish lines as well. There were different lines. We can talk about this
and
how this could actually be a disturbance for the riders. Anyway, joining us as well is Kate Bates in a very, very, very nice background. What's going on here, Kate? How are you?
Yes. I thought I'd upskill a little bit, guys.
So, Did you want to show me what pink is pink?
I did. Well, and I'm kind of going Chicolamino jersey with my shirt. I've got the pink nails and the pink background. I'm on board.
I thought we said, red and pink not together. Anyway, that's a different discussion. it was a fantastic sprint. It probably was the last sprint of pure sprint of the Giro.
Yeah, I think at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment, this is what we think. Let's relieve this sprint. Micah, take us through this line.
Well, you see Danese there on the right-hand side of the screen. You can see Gaviria, who at that stage we thought Gaviria is going to win. And to be honest, I was going to be happy for Gaviria. He'd been a bit frustrated early on. Danese simply came from the clouds. He really did. He came from 8th, 9th position in the last 300. His first big, big win. He has won. You know, his first victory was the JK Herald Sun Tour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A stage win into Shepparton, my former hometown.
and a while ago as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 2 years ago. Yeah. He just signed, I think. He was a Neo Pro, so first year. This is his second victory as an Italian. Wow, Kate, what a win, hey, for an Italian to win on home soil. Biggest race of the year. It doesn't get much better.
Yeah, and such a young guy too. Like, you know, I think he came to the tour, to the Giro with expectations top three, top five, but I'm really not sure that win was going to be on his radar. So it's pretty exceptional that Team DSM could do that. But, guys, I'm really curious, what on earth is going on? We saw Pozzovivo do a lead out yesterday. Today, Romain Bardet got in on the action. Is it like April Fool's Day? Like our Climate GC guys are all of a sudden lead out guys?
And actually, we'll talk about this in a little while because we have the reaction from the car and how the whole sprint did unfold. And it's very interesting, actually, to be sitting in that car and thinking, you know, okay, this is how it all unfold, but who was the real leader in that team? And then we'll talk about this in a sec. But just quickly before we move on exactly to that car, but there were a couple of lines on the way. Do you think that through only the commentator, only Kino, when he went, oh, it's not the line yet? Or did that throw someone like Gavrila?
I didn't think of that. Look, I don't think so. You've got the big gantry, so the riders would be aware of that. That's the marker, isn't it, Kate, in their minds, I think. You see the gantry. So I don't think so. Well, I think the question for me post-stage is, was it a headwind sprint? Because they had tailwind all day, but the road switched and changed in that last sort of few, sort of 10 kilometres, in fact, and it turned back on themselves. I'm thinking it was potentially a headwind sprint, and that's how Danese got the slingshot from behind, because a tailwind sprint, Kate, you know as well as I do, you start four lengths behind in a tailwind sprint, very hard to get past that rider.
Yeah, they did go pretty early, didn't they? I mean, you have to consider what's happening with the quick step lead out train. And I mean, that raises a far more big philosophical question, guys. Is it the rider or the lead out train that wins? Is it Cav or is it these awesome guys that they have in front of him? Because Ballerini, no doubt, went too early and left Cav with nowhere really to go. Caleb was pretty excited coming into it and thought he might have a good crack, but he also found himself not really in the best position after all. And the timing was a bit off. But again, after the 90K little jaunt behind the bunch yesterday, are we really that surprised? So I think there's a lot of things that were really odd about the whole sprint. I mean, even to see Consoni, and I don't know if you've noticed his moustache. That's a little bit of fashion talk. But I don't know whether we'd call in the fashion police over that one. But it's interesting facial hair. For Consoni to finish ahead of Damar and Caleb and Cav, it's certainly not what we would expect on a billiard flat Giro stage, especially as you say, the last one of the Giro.
Yeah. So, question here from Ian: was Caleb just too tired yesterday? Was it, you know, the last chance he knew?
Well, because I actually, the road opened up for Caleb. I thought he had his position in the end was okay. He had road. He had space to move. He ran out of legs. He sat down. He actually sat down just right towards the end. I think he's just tired. You know, it hasn't been a great Giro for him, but that's, you know, you gotta ride that wave, don't you, Kate? And he's got to now find a way. He's a champion. He's already proven that, so he's got to find a way now to rebound for TDF.
Yeah, I mean, I think he needs to go home and get that recovery and then re-peak, because I think it's fair to say he's certainly not at his peak yet. And to some degree, I mean, Macca, you've been there. It's like, I mean, it's a terrible saying, but flogging a dead horse, like starting to fatigue, and you don't just ride through it. Like GC guys might ride through it, but sprinters, you know, or classic riders like we were, Macca, you don't just ride through it. And I haven't seen the agenda. I'm really sorry. I was a little late dialing in today for a few tech issues on my end. But so apologies if I'm front-footing this, but I feel like Cavendish Wash is on again, because I heard an interview from his coach yesterday after the finish, and he was saying, yeah, he went too early. But he was still really resigned to him going all the way to Verona. Why are they still talking about that?
We haven't got that in the agenda, actually.
Oh, well, there you go. Even better.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, that's interesting.
100%. Okay, let's take you inside the DSM car with Mike Whitson, the DS, the director sportif of that team, and let's relive how it all unfolded.
Okay, we stay focused on GC. We stay focused on GC. The road opens at 186. We stay focused on GC. If we come to a point with the sprint, then the sprint is with Alberto. Okay, boys, just keep your eyes open for any open sections. Keep your eyes open. Into the last 16 kilometers of the stage now. So let's just stay sharp. Another 20 minutes of racing to go. So full focus. Nico's holding a really good position in the front. That should be our marker. That's where we're aiming for. Talk to them, Alberto. Talk. Have attention on each other. We're into the final now. Come on, boys.
Hey, DSM for the finish.
Did we get it?
Yes!
Yes, they got it, and that's pure happiness. But it's very interesting to see how Bardet is telling them, go to the left. He's guiding that sprint.
He's like Michael Moorcock.
I know.
He's like 50 kilograms. He's like a wet sail, and he's dictating the layout. 100%. Guys, that is awesome.
The point as well is that the news for Caleb is was probably expected, not the greatest, but... he was expecting.
Yeah, he's heading home. Yeah, we've heard he will not start today. So I think that's a good thing for Caleb. And he sort of preempted it, I thought, before the stage. He said, look, this is my last real opportunity. And I thought, he ain't hanging around after this stage. Mm-hmm. So as you said, Kate, I think the best thing now is for him to recuperate, rest, recover. And he's got almost 6 weeks until the Tour de France.
Yeah.
That's plenty of time.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Okay, expectation around the FDJ, Groupama or Groupama FDJ, were high yesterday. Not just from us, not just from me, but from the team itself. Let's listen to Miles Scottson. That was before the start of the stage, and we'll debate their performance after this.
Yeah. I mean, we have a really... for today, there's not a day that'll suit us better. Today, like, this is our biggest chance. I mean, the average weight of our team is 76 kilo. And I think we're the tallest. Well, I think we're the tallest and the heaviest team on average in the race. And today's 200k completely flat, crosswinds, and a sprint at the end. Like, this is a massive opportunity. Obviously, we've already won two stages here. But if we don't win today, I think it's an opportunity miss. But it's never easy. I mean, you've got really fast guys also in that final. But as a team, I think we can be confident. Yeah.
Confidence. What happened there?
Well, they mistimed the sprint, obviously. Mm-hmm. You don't always get it right. And he said that. He did say that, you notice there. But it is a missed opportunity. Full of confidence. So they should be. Two wins. But you don't win them all. Yeah. You don't win them all. But that's where you've got to put yourself up there each day. You got to buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You got to buy the ticket, and at some point your number will come up.
Nothing's granted.
That's right. No guarantees.
But is that a bit of a damper, because they probably would have won the last one to secure the jersey? And
he's still got to make it. He's been climbing well, Demar, but he's still got to make it to the finish line. So, there's a lot that can unfold with the Chiclamino jersey.
Yeah. Still, there's still a lot of competition into it. Let's listen from the winner of the stage yesterday.
It feels pretty amazing. It's a stage in the Giro, so anywhere would feel amazing. But especially being so close to home, it's something incredible. And I still cannot believe it happened. And I'm super happy.
How did you make it happen?
Yeah, this morning the plan was to go for Case in the sprint. In the last kilometers we swapped as it didn't feel so good. And then I was just trying to stay relaxed and following the guys. And it's insane that Romain sitting third in GC gave me a lead out to the last corner. So that shows that we really work as a team. And then I just, I was a bit boxed in the middle, but then I found a gap on the left and I just went to the line. I think I had Gaviria on the right. The last 20 meters I could pass him, and then that feels super.
Feeling super Danese here. He found a gap on the left. Bardet told him he was on the left, but that's how he found it. That relates well.
Yeah, he did. And Kate, first Italian victory of the Giro. Can you believe that?
It's massive, and it is such a proud race for them. And early on in the Giro, we had all of these records, it's only the seventh stage seventh rider to win a stage for the French or whatever for the Dutch or the Belgians. And so I think it kind of was time for the Italians to step up. But if you actually look through the start list, there's probably not a lot that are shining really brightly for who can do that. He wasn't expected. I mean, I don't know that too many bookies would have picked him to actually win that stage, and that's a point to remember. But also, these, especially in like the sprints, these stages are starting to become a bit atypical of any normal sprint stage, because the big names and the big teams that normally dictate are just not anymore. Like, I don't see, and I'm really curious on your view on this, I don't see the full all-in commitment to Caleb this week that we perhaps have earlier in the week. That might be a bit controversial to say, but based on what happened yesterday, I don't think you can argue that they were all in for him yesterday when they left him on his own out the back with somebody else to drop, only one rider to drop back to get him. And Quick Steps. They're a little bit of a dog's breakfast in the bottom. And I just see DSM as taking this really opportunistic way to get a stage. It's so good for the Italians.
You're spot on the Lotto Soudal thing. Yeah. I agree. I think they could have given Caleb a bit more support, especially yesterday. Yeah. That bit of crosswind section, he shouldn't have been hovering down the back. Mm-hmm. But as management and whoever's in the car, the DS, should have been more onto it. And whether or not their morale slipped a little bit with the sprint stages, not that they, I don't believe they've lost faith in Caleb. They know you've got to ride that highs and lows of being a sprinter, and he's delivered for them at the biggest stage. So that's not an issue. It's not like he's still trying to get that first win as a new pro, but they should be better than that.
Yeah, 100%.
And they should have done their homework 2 days ago as well, and put guys in the breakaway rather than focus purely on Caleb on a day where it was obvious the sprinters weren't going to survive. Not even Damar made it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a bit of a question mark for me there as well.
And can we also discuss about the impact that Morcu and the fact that he left had on Dukinik, Quickstep, honestly?
Well, this is Morcu's adding a zero to his contract, Kate, because without him there, they don't win. He's like,
they're not winning.
He doesn't want them to win when he's there.
And actually, the energy around that team went from top to nothing. We hardly hear about them. You hardly see them in a commentary. They're just not here. Merku is creating that energy at the end, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, beside the fact that Ballerini went too early, it's almost like he did the job that he always does, except that there's nobody there at the end. They're missing. And they haven't adapted and moved their lineup at all. And as a result, you know, Cav was left a little bit in the wind. But I do think it's a really interesting thing, because if Cav is only able to come back and win these stages and races because of the lead out, then people are going to start catching up really quick. They know that they just need to interrupt the lead out, whatever that may look like and mean, and be a disruptor. And he's done. He's kind of out of contention. I think that as any team and any rider, you need to have a whole host of kind of tricks in your book. And they are turning into, I mean, it sounds harsh, but the one-trick pony, like, they lead out, he wins. But if there's anything at all wrong with the lead out, he doesn't win. Yeah. But he's such a good bike rider and he can. It's like they're doing it to themselves.
Well,
on the other end, Jakobsen has been winning without Merkur.
Well, I was
going to
say, Kev used to be able to do this.
Exactly.
And this is, I guess, in some ways defending him. He's at the back end of his career. Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't have the ability to do that anymore. He needs that. He needs that lead to the line. He's still quick. He's proven that. But he can't box as hard as what he used able to.
But is then therefore the problem getting bigger for the selection for the Tour? Is this fueling a Jakobsen rather than?
Hey, it's advantage Jakobsen, because I said it last night. If Cav had a one, Kate, without Morcu, to me it was absolutely advantage Cav for that sprint spot. But he hasn't won, as you pointed out. And are the team saying, geez, well, he can only win with Morcu? We've already seen Fabio winning without him, without Morcu. I'd put myself as the DS making that decision. I'd be starting to think I'm taking Jakobsen. Mm-hmm. Kate?
I'd take Jakobsen. The only reason I would think they'd even consider taking Cav is for the PR around breaking that stage win record. And that would be it. Just so that the team and the sponsors get more press. And you know what? That's a big part of it. So if they do choose that, you can't really be too surprised. But from a sporting point of view, Cav would not be my pick at the moment. And you know what? I have a great amount of respect for the guy. But you're right, he's at the back end of his career and the time has come, I think, for the new generation to come up.
But I would not pass that Lefebvre and the management team of Dukinik going, you know what, Alaphilippe is probably out of the Tour, so they're not going to have their stint in yellow. It's going to be hard to have even one day in yellow, maybe let alone two or three. Cav is not at the super performance. Let's go for a target. Let's go for the Netflix time. Let's go for the screen time and maybe bring both. You know, maybe they're going to start that battle.
I'd be shocked if they took both.
But me too.
Blown away.
Me too.
I can't imagine it.
But look at the script, though. They're bringing both, and they let them battle it.
No, that's on the score. They're two.
You heard it first here.
Brilliant. you know what else? Though I think we could find a sponsor for this segment.
Yeah.
You know, those little like infomercials you have on shows? We talk about this topic every day, I think, for the last 5 days. We need to get a sponsor on board just for this three-minute segment.
Matthew's saying, great discussion, so why don't we?
I think Matt,
what do you do? Who do you work for? Is your company interested?
The sponsor for the segment, Macca, could be Astoria because, you know, they're the ones creating all this drama with their Prosecco at the Giro. So it would be very fitting.
It's cork popping.
We'll talk about it in a sec as well. But also, I don't know if you saw this news, but Deceuninck as a company are going to sponsor the Alpecin Phoenix team. They will be named Alpecin Phoenix Deceuninck.
Well, you see, they're on the bibs already.
Yeah,
they're on the back.
But
of
they're getting naming rights. So the Deceuninck Quick Step is moving. So there's going to be, you know, there's a lot happening.
Plenty happening.
Anyway, amongst all this, we still have a pink jersey on the shoulders of Lopez. And we love his interviews. He's so humble.
He's our favorite Spaniard at the moment.
We love him. Let's listen to him again.
More day in the Maglia Rosa, but today Richard Carapaz went for the sprint bonus. Did you consider contesting it?
Yes, because I can't sprint like Richard. So I don't have another option. But today, the most important is that we save the Maglia Rosa. Also, I want to say thank you to all my teammates, but in special to Otto, because he take care of me all the day. Sometimes I'm a little bit nervous, but he say to me always, hey, you need to stay calm, stay with me, and stay safe.
Have you had some difficult moment today?
Not difficult, but a lot of tension for fight for the position, and everything was a little bit difficult with the win. But the most important is that I stay another day here.
Gracias.
I think he's thanking one teammate a day when he goes onto the podium. This is what he's been doing. He's speaking. They think he knows how many days he's going to get that jersey, and he wants to go around the whole team.
Yeah. He's great, isn't he? And he was having a good chat to Sam Ooman, who he threw the bottle at.
Yeah.
It's like he's had his biffo with a rider, and then the very next day they're best buddies. We were joking about it last night. No, I think he's a likable character. Yes. And he is his revelation of this Giro. You know, we'd heard of him, but, Kate, he's going to spend potentially 10 or 11 days in the Maglia Rosa. He won't win the race, but he will spend 10 or 11 days in the Maglia Rosa. That's a huge achievement.
Yeah, I think he knows he's on borrowed time too, because the first couple, he was really motivated to keep fighting, and now he's saying things like, I'm just grateful to still be wearing this for another day. So not really oozing confidence about the days ahead, but that's fair, and I think that's a pretty measured approach. Given that everybody's a bit surprised he's still in the pink at this stage, it shows a lot of courage, and I think it shows a lot of grit that he still is. But you can certainly tell in his interview that even though he's still this wonderful character, there's a little bit of vibrance missing. I think he's pretty exhausted, and I actually wouldn't be surprised if he lost some really, really significant time in the final week, and was just trying to survive, because I think the emotional roller coaster of fighting every single day just to keep the jersey, even though you know you'll lose it, is a pretty significant thing.
But how good of a Giro this has been for Trek?
Oh, massive. Yeah. They could go, the whole team could go home tomorrow. Sponsors would be happy.
Yeah.
They've delivered. Yeah. They've delivered. So they've got no pressure whatsoever. It's the only pressure they put on themselves.
There's a good comment here from Luke. I'm just putting it back here as well. But how good was Ineos stealing the bonus point to move Carapaz up to second? Because this is what happened from this. And we can talk about it, but I'm going to bring out the GC here. And Carapaz is now second.
Of
the classification.
Yeah, and look, they didn't plan that either. I said it last night in the commentary. They didn't plan it at the start of the stage and say, oh, let's go for that bonification. It was the crosswind nervousness that caused, you know, that anxiety. They went to the front. It happened to be gas on when that second sprint came, and they went, you know what, we're here. Let's
do it.
Yeah, 3 kilometres out, they would have said, hang on a minute, we can grab this. Might not make any difference, but if they're there for the taking, you might as well grab them.
Mm-hmm. We Yeah, it shows 100%. A bit of purpose and determination. Like, it wasn't a day that they could help him in any other way. And it's not super motivating to wake up and the team directions be just survive and stay out of trouble. So I think giving them a bit of purpose actually allows them to feel that strength of team as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, before we move on to the route for tonight, we, of course, will have to have an update on Guillaume. Guillaume has gone home. He had an hemorrhage at the back of the eye or something.
Yeah, like hemorrhage, sort of one of the vessels around the eyeball.
But nevertheless, he's going home. I think this idea of him going to the Tour de France, from what I can gather from different social medias and friends I spoke to, it's taking a bit of a life of its own. It's actually... Mm-hmm.
Any fan journalist of the sport, we want him there. We want him at the Tour, don't we? He's exciting.
Yeah. And we want him at the Tour. That's 100% sure. Let's listen from the director sportif from Intermarché on this exit from his leader, Valerio Piva.
I never expected this situation, for sure. And yesterday we had a fantastic moment, and 5 minutes later we hear that Bini was at a problem on the podium. So... We lost now our leader, our champion, and it's pity for that, because we had ambition, and we saw yesterday. But the Giro continue, and we have for sure Pozzovivo is in top 10. We have riders in top shape. We want to achieve more, and. We keep our motivation, our morale is high, and we try to do our best for our team, for our sponsor, and to show that we are here really organized to make the perfect Giro. And I want to say thanks, Bini, for what you did for us until now, but we want to continue for you and for our sponsor.
Valerio Piva here with some good words about...
He's like a wise old owl, isn't he, Piva? DS of the year.
Where to from now for this team? Because if I bring back the GC here, Pozzovivo is eighth.
And
so he's still in the top 10.
39.
Yeah, 39. No ageism, but 39 is a good age. I wish I was 39 again. But 39 is also a peak age for cycling or not. It's he's towards the tail end of your career.
He's had a number of top 10s at the Giro, but... They're inspired, I think, Kate. And sometimes, you know, when a rider like Guillaume delivers, you know, for the team, it inspires it lifts up the other riders, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. And it, also on a team like that, they're not really in the spotlight. Everybody sort of sees anything that they achieve as a bonus, which is perhaps, you know, naive of any fans to have that view, but it's realistic. You know, they're not one of the big budget, big name teams. And that takes a lot of pressure off the riders. I think it would actually be a much nicer experience to go on tour with someone like that. Like, perhaps their, you know, bus isn't quite as flashy, or they don't have the nice foam pillows that Ineos have. But I do think that they probably sleep a little bit better at night with a little bit less anxiety, which goes a long way.
True, that's true. Okay, let's have a look at the route tonight. So for the stage, which will be commentated by yours truly, Maka. Yeah. Take us through this stage.
Yeah, 204 kilometres, Parma to Genova. So they leave the Emilia-Romagna region that they entered into yesterday. That first climb, that looks like the biggest. It's actually not. It's the highest, but it's a long, slow drag up, so it's not much. It is actually where... Sadly, Wouter Weiland passed away on that climb. Yeah. So they passed the memorial back in 2011. And we've talked about that extensively already in the first sort of week and 10 days of this race. I must say, the Giro, they've retired his number from that year. And I must say, they really keep the tribute going and the memory of him every year. So massive kudos to RCS for that. Yeah. It is something really special. And also, I don't want to get all doom and gloom, but later on in the stage, they pass the bridge out of Genova, the Ponte Morandini, where the Ponte Morandini disaster, remember the bridge that collapsed in 2018, and 43 people died in that horrific accident.
It should be a good stage.
But it's going to be a great stage. I know. But
don't let this beat you.
Yeah, look, it's relevant. So I wanted to mention those two things. And in memory of those people, 100%. Sadly, that we lost. But the final climb, that is going to be a key part. 4 kilometres, averaging 8%. That is what everyone's talking about. And all of the people who have analysed this stage are saying the sprinters will not make it. The sprinters will not make it. So we saw Damar Cate, his first stage win when he got dropped, but that was 80 kilometres to go and it was a longer climb. Can he get through this one? Can he get over 4 kilometres at 8%? It's 30 kilometres from the top to the finish.
Yeah, look, I tend to say no if it's ridden properly by his competitors and the other teams who know that, you know, he will be doing everything desperately to try and make it across and over the top. I tend to think that today may be more of a long break day where some of the teams who are maybe in the top 20 but not quite in the top 10 might take a bit of an opportunity and force the GC teams to decide whether or not they're going to put their efforts into chasing. That's what it feels like to me. We have to remember that Damar's 77 points ahead of Cavendish now. So there is a fairly significant gap for him there. And, you know, another stage would be good, but if quite early on it's not looking that good for them, I'm not sure that they'll go after it.
Yeah, 100%. Anyway, the stage is live tonight on SBS. It should be a good one. Mike, you'll be commentating with Kino.
I will. I'll be with Kino. As usual, we will be on demand. We're on pretty early tonight. I think we're on 7:20. Uh-huh. Check your guides, but it's sometimes somewhere in the sevens. And then we switch, I believe, at 11 p.m. to the main, to the network. It is going to be a good stage. Yeah. I guarantee you of that. It is the longest stage of the tour at 204. There's been a few around that 200 mark, but this is officially the longest. So beautiful part of the world. Heading to Genova, you know, it's not too dissimilar to part of the Milan-San Remo where it ends up down on that coastline. Yeah.
Thank you, Kate, for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good call, Macca.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Macca.
Thank you very much.
This was the Zwift SBS Sport podcast. Before you go, you remember that you can download, stream or subscribe to this podcast on our website, sbs.com.au/sport, or log a ride with our friends at Zwift. Until next time, same place, same time tomorrow. Say bye for now.
Before we go, a quick word from our sponsor, Zwift. When it comes to sport, I always tell my kids, rule number one, have fun. On Zwift, fun is fast. Tour de France winner Geraint Thomas uses it, so too does Mathieu van der Poel, and Australia's Neve Bradbury Zwifted her way to a World Tour contract. One of my favourite things on Zwift is seeing the flags of people from all around the globe that I get the chance to ride with. I love the structured workouts, doing meet-up rides with friends, and when I'm feeling strong, doing a few races. They definitely hurt, but they are fun. It's easy to get started. All you need is a bike, trainer, and the Zwift app. Visit Zwift.com, and hopefully I'll see you on there soon. Ride on.